You're listening to WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. And that number is 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Representative Joe Havin. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Juke.
And Joe is here to talk about some of the things that are going on in Lansing. And, of course, if you have a question, you may call and talk directly to Joe as well. All right. Joe, I had a chance to visit the new jail in Allegan a few weeks ago, and it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed that.
Yeah, you should have been there, I think, because your interest is in prison reformation, and I think they had a pretty good-looking jail up there.
Well, that's great. I know that Allegan County has been working on that for years, trying to figure out how to get the funding available and to move forward. They were, I believe, renting jail space out in other counties an awful lot. So good for them that they finally got that underway. As you said, Juke, that's been an interest of mine for the past 5 years, and I think counties in the next few years are going to play a bigger role in that. I've been very excited to see the attitudes changing toward corrections, and I wish I had a couple more years in the legislature, because I think a lot of good things are going to happen.
Right. I think if we can shortstop crime at that point and not have the other types of prisons or as many in the other types of prisons, it would be a good idea.
Well, our prison population is stabilized. We were up to, before I went into the legislature, we peaked in 2007 with about 51,000 prisoners and change. And we're down in just between 43,000 and 44,000 now, and we're stabilized.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it dropping substantially unless we have some major policy changes. But I think we're going to see, as you said, the jails take a bigger role in trying to keep people from going away for long periods of time. If we can nip things in the bud, if we can, if judges and courts and prosecutors can say this is a behavior that we have to stop before somebody is incarcerated for a long period of time, we can get them back into the community and get them back being productive. Yeah, interestingly, I had two meetings this week. One Monday, and then the same gentleman came to Lansing. Prison Fellowship brought in a judge from Hawaii.
And, really?
Yeah, and he was making kind of the speaking circuit in West Michigan and in Lansing, talking about a program that they have called Swift and Sure. We've named it Swift and Sure. And they've kind of developed this program. Michigan is starting to pick it up to make sure that people are getting punished immediately.
Good idea.
Okay, you want to take
call
that?
Coming on. Yes, you're on the line with Joe.
Yeah, I'd like to comment about to Joe about this money that's going to the county roads direct from the state treasury.
Yes, sir.
I think that ought to continue instead of going through the bureaucracy of the Department of Transportation. And I'd like to maybe see regulation to that effect, and I'd like to have you comment on what can be done about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Well, okay, let's change topics a minute. On the road funding, yes, we do have $100 million that we appropriated that's going to come directly to local communities. The Department of Transportation is going to be involved. We can't completely cut them out of it. But that $100 million will be coming directly to communities to deal with this winter's problems. And we had, as everybody knows, we've got a winter that just never seems to end.
Right.
It was colder, more moisture, more snow, everything. And it's snowing as I came in this morning. So, I believe the caller's talking about is the money typically gets put into a big barrel, and then everybody gets a piece of it. What we have said is that this money is going directly to communities and not going to get divvied out to mass transit, to airports, to other things. It'll go right into the potholes and the salt piles and everything else that your local road commission or your city engineering department needs directly. And then we have another $115 million that's going to go into projects next year. Now, we allocated some last fall. That money will hit the streets, literally hit the streets, this spring as well. an additional 115 that we just allocated. So we have some money being put into roads for 2014. I'm excited about that, but we are going to bypass the typical siphoning off for other expenditures.
It's
that
going MDOT's to roads.
Used. It's going to roads this
okay.
year.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yeah, I wondered if Joe had anything to do with the goat rodeo they want to put out on M40. If he knows anything about that roundabout deal.
The roundabouts, yeah.
Oh, the roundabouts. We have had some calls, and M40 is Allegan County. It's outside the 90th district, but certainly being a Hollander, I'm concerned about that and travel M40 periodically. You know, it's interesting that everybody, after the tragic accident of that high school teacher in Hamilton, we had a lot of cries, so we need something done immediately. We need a real fix. We need MDOT to take it seriously. I think if it were a simple answer, MDOT would have fixed it years ago. Now they do have a plan for the roundabout. And I'll tell you, roundabouts, nobody likes the concept of a roundabout.
No.
I mean, they're different. You have to think about it. You really have to take care when you're doing them, whether it's Washington Square in downtown Holland or the couple that I travel occasionally in downtown Grand Rapids. They do take another, level of awareness when
yes.
you're going through them. But it's interesting that people have criticized MDOT just for the concept of a roundabout. I think we got to give them some time to see how it's going to work
mm-hmm.
before we.
Well, a lot of it, Joe, is. Did you look at the price tag on that?
You know, I have not.
I don't want to waste a lot of your time, but
you're not wasting my time.
Tag, right, look at the price tag of what the roundabout's going to cost. I thought they said close to $5 million.
Okay.
Now, wouldn't it be more feasible to put a light up there than when the trucks come up on top of it, like they've added a lot of traffic lights nowadays, where the truck rolls up there, it clicks for red on M40 or whatever, give it some time. But you've seen the Michigan turns here, how they don't work. They're just a mess. It's an accident. And these Michigan turns just do not work. And now they want to do a roundabout at a truck stop. Some of these places, like the truck stop here, have equipment coming out of there that are humongous. And you try to get them through a roundabout once, and I'd like to see some of these guys do it. But that's just my opinion.
Okay.
I hope they really look at it. It's a simple fix. Put a light there on sensors. Look at the price of what it costs for that and what it costs for that roundabout. These are taxpayers' money.
Well, I
would really like, you or if you know somebody, if you're not in that part of the district, to find out what this is going to cost. It's ridiculous. I mean, when you could spend maybe $3,000 on it and you're spending $1 million or $5 million, whatever it's going to cost for a roundabout, come on. We're not rich. Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Thank
you. I won't disagree that a light would be far less expensive, and we will look into it. I've got a meeting with MDOT regarding a different project coming up next month. I'll put it on the agenda that we discuss that as well. I will take some issue that the Michigan U-turns don't work. I know they're inconvenient because you're turning right when you really want to go left.
Right.
But as far as safety, I think they work fine. We'll look at the roundabout. I think part of the problem is possibly the backing up of trucks and cars with the highway right there. You don't want to somebody getting backed up 10, 20 cars.
Right.
The idea of turning green automatically is one avenue. But I got a note to myself that we talk about it next month.
Okay.
So thank you, caller.
Good morning. You're online with Joe.
Good morning, Juke, and good morning, Mr. Haviman.
Good morning.
Just wanted to say, I partially agree with the gentleman that called just a moment ago about the roundabouts. You know, it is a nightmare. It's something that people here just don't want. But if you folks in office are not going to listen to us, what are we going to do? They don't work. We have one, you mentioned Washington Square. It's within my neighborhood, so I know about that one. And there's also one in Hudsonville. But getting back to the one at Washington Square, it's a nightmare. People drive slower through there, but yet people are always hitting the darn thing. If you go past, it's scratched up. People drive their tires up on top of it. There's even some people I've seen drive straight at it, then have to back up and go around it because they have no idea what it's about. They don't work. It hinders more of driving. And put it this way, we're looking at a cause that is poor driving. That's the whole concept here is poor driving. People driving either too fast, not paying attention, or, you know, an accident. Something just happens to happen. The gentleman mentioned putting a traffic signal there on a sensor. Very good. Very smart idea. People get that concept for many years now. But if we look at it, there was this, a news show done on this incident just a while back where it was truck drivers pulling out of this intersection were the cause of most of this. They didn't want to wait for traffic to come through, so they'd pull out inch by inch until they were out. Get back to us citizens. Listen to us. We don't want this roundabout. We want a traffic light if it would help. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You can bring that all up to the...
Yeah. You know, as I said, I haven't paid a lot of attention to it. I'm sure Bob Janetsky has, but we will certainly dig into it and have these conversations with MDOT.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe. Hello? Hello, do we have someone on the line? Good morning. No. Okay, you'll have to call back. Here, we got one coming in right now.
All right.
Good morning. You're on the line. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Hello. I was just thinking about prisons, and I've heard some discussion of it. I've heard that nationally almost 50% of the people that are in prisons are in there because of drugs. One state, I think it was New Hampshire, 85% of the prisoners were in because of drugs. And maybe what we need to do more on the front end to prevent this, or it probably just shouldn't be that way. That so many of them should be in for drugs. Now, if they're involved in violent crime, I think that's something else. But if they're not involved in crimes of violence, I think that there should be other means.
Thank you. I think you and I would agree on that concept. There's an awful lot of nonviolent criminals in our prison system, probably more in our jails. That we need to look at alternatives to get people, get behavior corrected, worry more about that and less about feeling good about ourselves because we punished people. The state in the past few years has made really good inroads with drug courts, sobriety courts, mental health courts, and veterans courts to look at alternatives to incarceration that are going to cost less money and really correct behavior better than just incarcerating people. And I'm excited about that, and I wish I'd be around for it to see it through to completion. But the country is going through a real paradigm shift right now in the way it views corrections. And I think it's on the right track in realizing that we can't afford to just lock people up. We spend $2 billion a year right here in this state of Michigan to lock up about 43,000 people with another 200,000 or so out on probation and parole. And it's costing us an arm and a leg. That's money that could be put into rebuilding our communities, into our school systems, into education, into
streets,
roundabouts, and red lights. Into so many other ways that would improve our quality of life here. So that's what I've been about for 5 years, and that's what I'm going to continue to bang away at. And when I'm not working on the budget for the rest of my term,
That's a good way to go.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
One of the problems we have in Allegan County is the crack cocaine, methamphetamine and stuff like that that people are making at home and getting others involved.
Yes, and you know, I've never seen crack or meth.
I haven't either.
From what I'm told, it's not a question of building a habit like marijuana, maybe.
If you try it, you got the habit.
Yeah, if you try it once, you're stuck. And it changes the chemistry of the brain, the way your brain thinks, and you're hooked. And it's so inexpensive and easy to make,
right,
evidently, that I've never seen it made or anything. But how you get to young people and to people to say this is so detrimental and it is so caustic to a society. For some reason, Allegan County is one of the leaders in this state on that problem.
Well, they have a lot of area that is kind of backwoodsy.
Yeah, but we have a lot of parts of the state that are that way.
Yeah.
Certainly, I know that people will come across garbage that's been thrown out after a meth lab or something. And,
and
it seems like Allegan County has attracted that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Well, we were talking about some...
Oh, we were talking about Swift and Sure.
Yeah.
And Prison Fellowship this week has had a gentleman come in... from Hawaii, Judge Alms, and he kind of perfected this Swift and Sure idea that traditionally in corrections what you've had is a probation officer, when he's had one of his clients come to him and has messed up, taken a urine test and failed it or had another violation, there's been a slap on the wrist or you'd go before a judge and nothing would happen. Until so many violations would take place, and then the judge would throw the book at him and say, you're going back into the correction system. What they've done in Hawaii is corrected it at the county level where the minute someone has a violation, they are put in handcuffs and they're taken off to the county jail, and they may spend a weekend, they may spend a day, but there's an immediate discipline for every violation.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found is the clients, the violator, the prospective prisoner, feels like, okay, you know what? Somebody actually cared enough to correct my behavior. They don't view it as a negative. They view it as a fair treatment for a violation, and they're actually thankful that somebody intervened and was there to discipline them. A lot, as we were just talking, I mean, some of these people have a real drug problem that they need that constant reinforcement. They know they have a problem. So this immediate discipline and immediate consequences for behavior works better than letting somebody go and giving them another chance and another chance and then finally throwing the book at them with a 3 to 5 year sentence. Those long sentences typically aren't productive to helping somebody come back into society later. So Swift and Sure is working in Hawaii. Other states are looking at it. Michigan has about 12 sites, 12 counties that were really encouraging this. It does initially cost the county a little more because they have an immediate population in their jail. Instead of sending those people off to the state and making it the state's problem and the state's expenditure, but long term it corrects behavior better. And jails are frankly they're incarcerating people for about half or a third of what we're doing at the state level. So that's kind of an exciting twist to it, and I was excited to see Prison Fellowship bring that judge in this week. As I said, I met him in Grand Rapids on Monday, and then he was in on Wednesday in Lansing, and we're trying to look for those alternatives that can help save money.
All right, good. All right, if you have a question or a comment for Joe, feel free to call 395-1450, and we'll take a moment out for the weather. Holland's Hometown Forecast, brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Have you tried one of their giant homemade cinnamon rolls lately? They are delicious. And the weather, windy with morning snow showers, steady to slowly falling temperatures from the mid-30s. And tonight, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a low of 27. Tomorrow morning, snow showers with a high of 44. And on Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 51 degrees. Well, it was about 50 this morning when I got up, and then about an hour later, it was down in around 30-ish.
Well, I started off at Frank's Restaurant in Zeeland, and you know, I do monthly meetings in a restaurant here or there, and I had four people show up. But you're right, it was really nice at 7:30 this
right.
morning, and then I saw those big flakes coming in.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, sir.
Say, I would like to talk about the roundabout. I personally know of a place in Lincoln, Nebraska, where they had a roundabout installed after the intersection was open, several accidents, fatal accidents. They put a light in. That did not work. Put a roundabout in, and the traffic flowed great. Never stops. Just keeps going in circles. I'm assuming that's what they're talking about. If there is an accident, traffic moves too slowly to cause any major damage, it would be a fender bender. It was something the residents had to get used to, but it does take a little bit to get used to it, but it worked well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As far as the cost, what was the cost that they said?
The gentleman that called in said it was going to be $5 million. I've got to verify that. I'm sure he's accurate, but we'll be talking to MDOT about that.
You know, it doesn't take much to make up $5 million. The life of that school teacher, you know, $5 million was nothing to that family. Yeah, I know we're taxpayers and we're not rich. I agree with that. But, boy, if you lost a loved one, $5 million doesn't seem like much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to send my comment. And I have a positive reaction to a roundabout. I think we're going to see more of that in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the caller's accurate in that the intention of a roundabout is to slow traffic.
Yes.
Keep it flowing, but slow it down. And
well, the other day we were discussing it here and on the air, and it was brought up that they have to make them big enough so a truck with one of these big windmill blades on can make it around the roundabout without going through the middle.
That's a good point. Would we have that kind of traffic going through? You're right.
We probably would have that kind of traffic going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the line with Joe. Hello.
We probably would have that kind of traffic going through.
You're on the line with Joe.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Are you there?
I don't think they knew they called.
You're on the line with Joe.
Okay. We'll just get a repeat. We have a delay on there, so that's what you're hearing. 395-1450 is our number. Still have time for a call or two. And if you have something on your mind that you want to talk to Joe about, 395-1450 is the number.
You know, Juke, I remember 30-some years ago on my honeymoon, my first roundabout experience, I was driving through Boston, and I was so frustrated with the traffic and got caught in a roundabout and couldn't get off it in about, I think it was three or four lanes deep on the roundabout.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've experienced one, and it was not a good experience by any means. The smaller ones that we've seen around here in Grand Rapids have gotten used to the concept now and have learned a little bit about how to drive on them. But
well, the first time I went to Detroit, I had to go to a hotel that was near downtown. I could see the sign, but I couldn't get there. Good morning. You're online with Joe.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Joe, when he talks to MDOT, to ask why they couldn't put in a smart traffic light like they do over here by Zeeland. Behind McDonald's and stuff. You know, when the cars are coming out of there, they sit on the line at the stoplight, and then the light comes on, and they get to go, and and then the other people that are racing for the expressway get to go.
Yeah. Yep. We have
and
the two traffic lights.
There's not that many trucks there that it would be a big deal. Plus, there's the other truck stop that's going to be going in pretty soon. It's a waste of $5 million in my mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's in my notes, the cost and what their rationale is between a roundabout or smart traffic light.
I'm just thinking for the bigger trucks, you'd have to make them really big.
Yeah, you're right.
Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
My husband was saying he suggests that on M40 they should put a Michigan turn. Now, exactly how it's supposed to work, I'm not sure, but he said everybody goes south and then have a left-hand turn lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, okay, thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Got another call? Good morning. You're on the line with Joe.
Yeah. To change the subject a little bit, I guess I'd like to know Joe's view on a gentleman, state senator from California, Leland Lee, that took place the other day. I haven't seen much in the news on it or any place on anything on it. I guess I want to know what his opinion of that situation is.
Sir, you know more than I do about it. I haven't seen it in the news either, but I'm... I promise I will Google it today and read up on it.
If you Google it or search engine it, you can find a tremendous amount of information. But I guess we have California had a state senator that was totally against the Second Amendment but somehow got involved in smuggling guns into the country from the Muslims for the gangs in California.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I think this ought to be discussed a little bit about how some politicians seem to get away with a free pass in the media. Thank you.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Ron. Good morning. Okay, don't hit one there, I guess. All right, well, you've got your list of all the things you have to talk about with them, Don.
Yeah. Well, I've got a meeting with them scheduled for next month for a project in Zeeland to talk about. We do have some additional funds coming to West Michigan. Both in Holland and Zeeland from the excess funds that we've had. So we're going to start to see both hopefully some potholes fixed, some repaving, and a couple of projects that'll get moved up on the ladder because we have some extra money. And that's a nice problem to have. The big solution for transportation, as we've discussed in the past, is still out there. We need to figure out a way to reallocate money on a regular basis, and the challenge of additional revenues if we're going to see a substantial long-term improvement to our road system.
Yeah. And I guess we're out of time, Joe. I thank you very much for being our guest here this morning on Talk the Town.
Thank you, Juke. Always a pleasure.